Hello, everyone. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. There's a good chance that you're listening to this show on the radio, but there is also a possibility that you're on your computer listening via the 680CJB website, or maybe you're on your smartphone and you've downloaded an app and you're tuning into the show that way. There's also a chance that you're out and about in your day, maybe you're at the gym working out and you're listening to this show as a podcast, or at least some podcast. You know, why do I mention this, you might ask? Well, I was thinking the other day that, you know, there are many ways that we consume information, you know, and I started writing a list and I thought, you know, how do we consume our information? Where do we get all our information from? And I did the usual television, radio, podcast, websites, you know, all the things I started listing off and everything. And then I started thinking about, though, this is all great stuff, but where does this technology come from? Or should I say, who does it come from? Most likely entrepreneurs and developers and creative people that sort of think stuff up and then say, hey, maybe there's a market or an opportunity for this. So someone or some group has an idea and they create it. So with a little search on the internet, I found myself in the bit space of development. I found all sorts of cool information on web development, mobile applications, virtual reality, and gaming. Now, these are all topics I've talked about before. If you've tuned into the show, I've had technology as a main theme, and I love technology. I love the toys. I'm an early adapter, early embracer of all this stuff. So what are we going to do? Well, I think it'd be really cool to chat with somebody about some of this stuff, an entrepreneur who actually lived and breathed in the space of development and finding collaborative ways to bring ideas to market to help companies expand their horizons and maybe provide a virtual story to connect with their fans. No. Notice some of the words that I've been using. I'm doing a little bit of a cheat. Yeah, I'm using some words, buzzwords or business words, collaborative, expand, virtual story, fans. I mean, that was some of the lingo that I actually found as I was reading out different websites and everything. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a bit about technology. We're going to talk about the technology industry and I guess virtual reality and some gaming, maybe a mix of things from a business perspective from Dan Blair, Bitspace Development. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited, actually, Dan. I started reading up your information and everything, but first for our listeners, tell our listeners about Dan. Who is Dan?
Well, Dan, me.
Yeah, me.
I'm an entrepreneur here from Winnipeg, and I exist in the technology space. And even before starting a company, I did a lot of tinkering. So I'm a self-described hacker. I'm big on 3D printing. I am an early adopter in virtual reality. I build apps, I build websites, all that kind of stuff. And at my company, Bitspace Development, we help build educational video games using interactive storytelling mediums like virtual reality and augmented reality.
So if we step back a little bit, and we are going to talk a bit about your business and everything, but if we step back a little bit, you say you're like a tinkerer. There we go. Maybe I'll start off with that word. Like, let's go back to the early
sure.
days of Dan. Where did you sort of start? What did you start tinkering with first when you started getting into things?
So I've been playing with computers for a very long time.
Okay.
You could ask my mom. She'll vouch for me. I've always had sort of a workshop in the basement. And I've always just kind of been one to tear things apart and put things together and kind of see what I can build. So pretty much every computer I've ever owned, I built myself. I've hacked together laptops. I've started putting together all kinds of electronics to see what I can build. Eventually that turned into software and I've been working with like programming and building things, not always useful things, but things for quite a long time. I do a lot of work in open source, which means that I build a lot of things that I give away for free. So I'll work on tools, whether that's hardware or software that doesn't necessarily have an end goal in mind other than to be a useful tool for something else later. So a foundation for something that you might use. So that could be software or iterating on some sort of hardware. And I say tinkering because a lot of it is literally just no goal set in mind, just kind of letting my mind go free with technology. So whether I'm soldering something, like I said, I love 3D printing. So building things and creating physical objects out of digital files on my computer. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but
it does, you know,
something you can really do.
I think when people think technology, you made a very interesting statement, letting your mind go free with technology. And I'm not too sure if a lot of people think that way when they think technology. I think they might just think they're in a box.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of people look at it like it's a thing in front of you. It's just,
yeah,
that's all it
that's
is.
That's technology.
To me, and a lot of people, it's more of like an extension of our world, right? So it allows you to do all kinds of things, and, you know, different technology obviously opens up different possibilities. And I mentioned 3D printing. I like to be able to create physical objects out of anything, you know?
So what are some of the objects that you've created? Maybe that's a good place to go get some examples.
A lot of little useful things around my office. So we need little things to hold up controllers for different things, like the Vive controllers. They have a hole on them. So we made hooks to hold them up. I made my dad a ship's wheel. I don't think he's ever actually been on a boat that has a ship's wheel.
Yeah, but
he's got a bit of a nautical theme going on in his garage right now. So I 3D printed one for him. And what's interesting is it's made with a wood fiber. So it would actually burn.
Oh,
not
really?
Melt.
It would,
so okay. Yeah, it's like it's plastic. But it has a wood fiber inside of the filament. I 3D printed my daughter. So I started by 3D
scanning
her.
That just sounds weird. But okay.
So I had her stand very still, and I used a Kinect from my Xbox, and I created a 3D version of her.
Yeah.
And then I ran it through the 3D printer, and I created a small version of her.
I was just going to say, was it like a miniature or something along that line?
Yeah, I made two versions. One took an enormously long time to print and ran out of plastic at the very end. So I tell people I wanted to show what was in the inside, but really I ran out of plastic. Then I made a smaller version, which is about 5 inches tall, and it's just a small version of my daughter for no reason other than to show her that you could do it.
Now, see, that's in itself fascinating, because I would have never thought, like, I've read up on 3D printing, but I would have never thought that you could take something like, I'm going to call it figurine, or you know what? I'm going to use the word action doll, action figure. There we go. I'm going to use the word action figure for your daughter or your son. Well, yeah. Yeah. I'd rather figurines. Action figure. Like, I would never thought you could do that.
Yeah. Well, just think of having like an unlimited supply of accessories for Barbies. Yeah, that's kind of why I do it.
Yeah. That's so, why you can do it. And then you can sort of just create your own.
My daughter needs new shoes, you know, print little shoes for the Barbies. I mean, those are the first things that get lost anyway. So.
Well, there you go. And you can actually recreate all that stuff with 3D printers.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I didn't expect to go down this path, but now I got to ask the question. Do you think that 3D printers will become like a mainstay in people's homes at some point?
I think eventually. I imagine at one time, people could have said, do you think a printer is a realistic thing to have at home? And they'd be like, well, no, I can write things with pens.
Yeah, why would I print
a machine to do such a thing?
Yeah.
Why would I need a robot to put ink on a paper? Well, I have a robot that spits out plastic and makes small things for me.
Wow.
Is it ready right now? No. But one day, eventually, there will be something that...
You know, it's interesting you would say that, because I guess we could always use and say it's like the calculator, or it's like home computer, you know, one computer in everybody's home. And we all know that most people have multiple computers in their houses
today. Can you imagine having a computer in your house?
Wow, what would that be? Like, what room would you put it in?
I have to have a whole room for the computer room.
The computer room.
And the same thing for VR, right? Yeah. So that's my core.
Your virtual reality.
Yeah, my big thing right now is VR. I work in VR. So.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that. This is great. Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dan Blair. And Dan, just before the break, we were talking about 3D printers. You got me into a whole fascinating conversation just about that, because now I'm excited to own my own.
We have to build one.
I got to build one. Well, there you go. I'm going to be coming hanging out with you. But you also started to mention right at the end VR, which stands for virtual reality. So I've had some discussions on virtual reality on the show previously, but it's always a good space to start off with what virtual reality is and from your perspective.
Yeah, so to me, virtual reality is a medium. A lot of people look at it as a technology for either video games or, you know, just a cool piece of tech that you're going to have. And right now, the big ones would be the Oculus Rift or the HTC Vive. And people look at it like, oh, this is like the next big, you know, the next gimmick kind of thing, like a Kinect. But it's actually a little bit more in line with like the TV or the radio, which, you know, people might be listening to right now.
Sure.
Virtual reality is the art of wiping away the whole world and transporting you into another environment or a situation. So imagine you are being teleported to Mars. Actually, one of the first 360-degree photos that I tried in VR was of the Curiosity rover. So I technically feel like I've stood on the surface of Mars. This can be quite powerful. So I have an almost 9-year-old daughter, and you know, I put her in VR, and so now she sees what does Mars look like if you're actually standing there. And so the picture was created there, sent back to Earth. It's in what's in a very interesting format that's called equirectangular.
Equirectangular, which is an everyday word, right?
Well, people are actually quite used to it. So when you think of a globe or a map on the wall, a map that you would see on the wall is actually an unfurled sphere, and that's equirectangular. So the same thing. You know, that can be applied to virtual reality, and so you can be transported everywhere. With the Vive or the Oculus, you're given an even more immersive experience, right? So you are inside of a game, or you're inside of any kind of situation. So usually an experience, and the immersiveness is that you have your hands in the game, or, you know, there's different goals that are trying to be reached by different pieces of technology, but you're being transported. Your brain thinks you're there. And when I gave my TEDx talk, Reforging Reality, last year, I draw a lot of parallels with other technology and where we are in regards to the technology's evolution. And so to me right now, we're at a very fairly early stage in where virtual reality is at. So the future of VR is going to be big, but where we are at right now is sort of like the early adopter phase. And so virtual reality is, in my opinion, a very immersive medium. You know, you can tell people a story by putting them in your own perspective. So, you know, you're trying to tell a story about human rights, or you're trying to tell a story about a, you know, community or some issue that people are facing, and you can actually put them in your perspective and tell them that story. So there's a very controversial game right now, which is a Syrian refugee VR experience where you live the role of someone escaping danger. And you get to see what it's like to be on a raft and what it's like to be running from danger. And you are in their perspective.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the whole point of it is to try and give people that sense of empathy and sense of presence. So it can be used in all kinds of interesting ways to kind of transport you to different worlds or put you in different situations. So it can be used for pretty much anything. So when I think of the technology, I try not to get stuck in the world of like, oh, it's a gaming device. You know, I play with a keyboard and a mouse, or now I put on my VR helmet, and I think of it more of like, well, I have a TV, I have a monitor, I've got my radio, and now I've got my VR helmet.
For a whole other experience.
Exactly.
Right, right. So a far more interactive experience. So it sounds to me like you're talking about it being in the early stages. It sounds almost like, and the first word I wrote down here was like Star Trek The Next Generation, right, where you walk into the holodeck. But it's not quite the same thing, is it?
No. Instead of walking into a room and the room changing to your surroundings, you have to strap a device on
your head, yeah.
And like to me, I think like one day in the future we'll look back and we'll be like, look at those guys with those stupid things on their faces.
Those big devices, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
It's like the Walkman. It's like the Walkman, right? Yeah. I mean, you think about it, and okay, so I'm from a slightly different generation, but I mean, it was a big pack that you would carry on your side and everything, and now it's just,
built into your phone. You don't even have a separate device.
You don't even have a separate device. So, you can, but you don't have to.
That's similar to how VR is moving. So in the 50s, there was a device called the Sensorama, and it was this enormous cage that was horrifying, and people would sit in it, and you'd put your face basically in like a smaller cage, and there would be vibrations, and a stereoscopic picture would show up so that your eyes would see it in kind of a 3D, and it used aromas and it tried to immerse you into a picture. So you felt like you were there. And there was a few things, there was like a circus and whatever. And I'm fairly certain that one was a burlesque house. I don't want to experience that.
No doubt.
So like that was quite a long time ago. In the 70s, there was, of course, the VR sets that took up an entire room, similar to how computers once took up a whole room.
Sure.
Now we're down to the point where you plug it into your computer or even your phone is your VR helmet. But it's still, we have tethers and we have limitations in the technology. And so in the future, of course, it'll improve.
All that'll go. Yeah, that'll be all gone. It's interesting you would say that about that experience, that sensual, and that's not the word I was looking for.
I'd say immersive. Immersive experience.
I just got back from Disney Adventureland. And there was one of the rides that we had there that we took on was actually a big screen ride. But you sat in a chair, they pulled you up in the middle of the air, and then you flew along with where everything went with a wraparound screen. Now, that wasn't totally virtual reality or anything, but they did everything in it to really engage the four senses.
I would argue that it almost is a virtual reality because virtual reality, we're really just trying to immerse you. And in their very controlled environment, they're immersing everyone on the ride in a virtual reality.
In
to
a
them,
virtual.
They're all in that sense of presence. So although it's, you know, people would argue it doesn't have a head-mounted display. Well, technically, it doesn't really need it. You know,
they didn't.
We're just trying to immerse people in a story.
Yeah. So. And they did. And I guess the point I was going to bring up with that is that, I mean, when we went across the African plains, if you wish, among the elephants, I mean, the smells were blown in, right? When we were in a space where air needed to be filtered in and everything, you could feel the breeze and everything around you. Like there was a lot more going on as you were actually moving through each, you know, the sensations were covered.
And people do that with the VR that they can buy for their home too. There's a hilarious video where a guy's playing a bird simulator and he's laying on this weird contraption to flap his wings with a fan in front of him.
Okay.
People do weird things to try and weird be totally things. Immersed.
This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Dan, I'm really thoroughly enjoying our conversation we're having around virtual reality, around 3D printers. You know, I want to come to your office and play with your toys. You know, I'm just sort of all totally into this right now. Tell us a little bit. Now, tell us a bit about your business. I mean, you walked out on your own at one point because I'm pretty sure you worked for another organization for a while, and then you sort of started your own company. Tell us about that journey.
Sure. So, it's either the most generic startup story or a very unique startup story. I haven't really decided that yet.
It's up to you.
But we've been around for a couple of years now. And when I started the company, I was working at a company called Bold. A lot of people here in the city are familiar with them. They do Shopify apps. When I worked there, there was like 9 of us.
Yeah.
And I was one of the first developers who worked in a garage. I just visited their other office not too long ago. There's like over 100 people. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, they've grown. Yeah. It's actually the, I guess you put them in the interactive digital media category.
Yeah, they do apps. They do Shopify apps.
They do Shopify apps.
And their own things, which is cool.
Yeah, which is a growing sector in our economy, so which is good.
Always what I'm interested in. So I like to play with interactive experiences, video games and stuff along those lines. So when we set off to do BitSpace, we tried to have a focus on virtual and augmented reality. So BitSpace Development is an interactive digital media studio. We're located here in Winnipeg, and we work out of North Forge Technology Exchange.
Okay.
So in that space, we have our office with our team. We also help run the Advanced ICT Lab. So we're working on a space that allows other entrepreneurs to access this kind of technology. Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit. You're using lots of terminology here, right?
Sure.
So you just use ICT Lab. What does ICT stand for?
Communication technology.
Yeah.
I always fumble that one.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And you mentioned, and I know we could talk lots about the other bits, but we talked a bit about virtual reality, but then you talked about augmented reality. Now I got to stop you and ask you, what's augmented reality?
So augmented reality to me is the ultimate future of virtual reality, which is embedding digital objects in the physical world.
Embedding digital objects in the physical world. So is that like that, I'm about to say Pokemon app that came out in
Pokemon
the
Go
summer.
is a sort of
augmented
reality game. Most people that I know turn it off. To me, it's a gimmick in that game.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Pokemon Go fan myself, although it's good.
So give us some examples of augmented reality or what augmented reality might look like.
The number one thing that I would look up would be the Microsoft HoloLens. A lot of people have either seen videos of people playing Minecraft in AR. So imagine we're sitting here in your studio, look at the table, and the table has a game on it, but the whole game is digital.
Okay.
We use that at BitSpace for training. So we use it to like put machinery in a classroom. So obviously you can't bring an excavator into a classroom
with a bunch
of kids.
No, you just can't.
They would probably get hurt. But we can do that digitally. So we can bring an excavator into a classroom with a bunch of people, whether it's, you know, workers that are learning or kids that are learning about, you know, machinery or whatever. And there's no danger to them. And that's kind of like the whole point of what we do is we try to put people in experiences to keep them safe in the long run. So we can send them into potentially dangerous situations through VR and AR. So either wiping away the world and putting them in a virtual reality experience or in an augmented reality experience and showing them potentially dangerous situations.
Okay, so that's great for safety training.
Yeah.
Are there some examples of some projects that you worked on in this space that you can share with us?
We do a lot of work with a bunch of different organizations here in the city. Our most prominent would be the Manitoba Construction Sector Council.
Okay,
so I really hope that Carol's listening because we like working with them.
You're really good with them. Good.
Yeah, we've been working on a few. So one specifically for training people working on road building. We've done one that was for flaggers that helps keep people safe while doing the job. So basically, like, the flagger is the person that holds the sign at the front of the job
they're
site.
Yeah, they're right out in the road sometimes.
Would you believe me if I told you that it's one of the most dangerous jobs on the construction site?
I would think it is because you're, like, there's cars going by you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and a lot of those people have never driven before. You know, some people work as a flagger, but they don't drive themselves.
Okay.
So we built a game to help train that, to help them understand the dangers of the job. Road builder safety, again, people are doing this job. They might not actually drive, but they're working on roads. So we can put them in situations before they've even been on the job site. They can travel there and experience it. We're working on ones that for framing, so building a house. Maybe you want to work in that field, but you've never built a house. We can now show you a job site. We can send you out there. You can see the other trades working around you. You can see, you know, the electrician wiring things up beside you. You maybe have never been in that situation. For AR, you know, we're, like I said, we're training you on, you know, you have an excavator and you have never been near it, but your job is now to shovel something beside it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That thing's going to swing around. You need to be aware of what's going on beside you. So not only can we put you in those situations, we can actually assess what you're doing. So you might not be doing the job properly. You might have finished the end goal of doing, this thing that you need to do in the game. But the path you took to get there was actually like all over the place.
Yeah.
So, you didn't quite do it properly. So we can assess that kind of stuff.
When you say we, I mean, you work with a whole group of other, I'm going to say programmers or developers. You tell me which word you want to use.
Either's fine. Either's fine. I usually say developers. Developers. Yeah, we have a developer team. We generally outsource our art to local artists just because we're heavy on the technology side. And we also work with instructional designers and industry experts. So it's usually a big team effort that ends up spanning not just my own organization, but the clients and then the industry that gets involved in it as well.
You get tied into there. I'm really excited that you've started your own company because as an entrepreneur, I mean, you must have had some challenges along the way. What have been some of the challenges that you've had in business yourself?
So I like that question because okay. I'm not a business person.
You know, you're a tinkerer.
I went to school to learn how to program.
Yeah.
I didn't go to school. I actually dropped out from business.
Okay.
I went and I took business at Red River and I decided business wasn't for me. I didn't want to start a company. And then I went and learned how to program and promptly started a business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You took your skills
so
and turned them into a business.
Kind of like our biggest challenge. What's nice is there's a large support ecosystem here in the city that helps like train you. So like I said earlier, I work out of the North Forge Technology Accelerator, which means that I have a business mentor that I can meet with and ask questions and talk about my challenges that I'm going through and stuff like that. I've gone through the Futurepreneur family, so I've got those kind of resources. I can access them for help. The chamber is nearby, so like there's a large support ecosystem here in the city to help people that want to start businesses. So people who are in my situation where you're technical, but you're not necessarily trained in business.
Yeah, you're a technical professional, but you got to build your business brain power.
Yeah, yeah. And like I mean, it's rare to do both. And you learn things obviously I've learned a lot over the last couple of years about business that I had no idea I would have to face, specifically how to run payroll.
When you start the company, payroll is a good example.
You know, that's a good example because I had no idea how to run that.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, there are services that exist and stuff that help overcome those challenges.
So let's just take that one. So I want to go strip the layers away a little bit. So we'll take payroll as the example. What have you done to overcome challenges that you've had in terms of handling payroll?
So my number one thing is I got an accountant.
Okay, there we go. That's good advice for entrepreneur.
You might go into business thinking, yeah, I can figure all that out. But it never hurts to ask advice and get an accountant.
A CA or CGA, yeah.
We use Payworks. So they're here. I think they're on Route 90. Their
yeah,
office,
yeah, yeah.
So.
They're a pretty significant company in our city. Yeah.
So we use them to process all that stuff. So that helps a lot. So it's like having a service that manages a lot of the nitty gritty for you. And then just making sure that like you're going to lunch and learn events and stuff that are being put on by industry organizations. So making sure that I ask the questions, ask my mentor, how do you handle payroll and how do you overcome these kind of things has been kind of the process for me. And then finding the services that fit the gaps that are missing from our own skill set in the business.
Okay. You know what? This is all fascinating stuff because I love it when young entrepreneurs come in and talk about the challenges that they have in their business. But we got to take a break. So this is Richard Lanforsett for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dan Blair. Dan is CEO of his own destiny, his own company. We were talking a little bit in our last segment about his business and some of the challenges and a little bit more about virtual reality and augmented reality. Dan, during the break, you and I had an interesting side conversation. We got to start to talk a little bit about, well, it's great that you have this thing out there called virtual reality. It's great they have augmented reality. But really, when we come down to the business sector, organizations, be the corporate organizations or mid-range businesses or entrepreneurs or business in general, how can they use this stuff in further organizations?
Yeah, so earlier I was talking about virtual reality as a medium. And so people thinking about VR as just a way to play video games,
yeah,
is kind of
fun.
Closing it off a little bit. Like, I mean, it is fun, but there's a lot more to it. So for businesses that are thinking like, well, how can I use this thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's not accessible.
Fair question,
well,
right?
You know, early adopting businesses are already using it. And the way that they're using it is because it's so immersive, you can put your story's brand basically anywhere. You can send your potential customers inside your story. So being able to tell your brand story or, you know, give some sort of impression of the experience that people are having from your products, you can put people right in that situation. So like, you know, maybe I might visit Cancun now that the Cancun place sent me this VR experience, and now I know how awesome my life will be when I'm there.
When you're there. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a lot more engaging than someone just watching a video. And like when you're looking at like social media and looking at marketing and advertising right now, it's changing, right? So
yeah,
as the demographics are changing, like people are less engaged by text posts. They're even less less engaged by just a photo. You know, you're starting to have a video there to capture people's,
catch them. Yeah.
You know, and it has to be just a few seconds, but people don't realize this, but like on Facebook, you can have a 360 degree photo, you know, you can be scrolling along and all of a sudden you have a 360 panorama. You can scroll all the way around, but that's actually virtual reality. So, you know, you have your phone, if you have the correct viewer, you can, you know, put it in the cardboard helmet and you can now live in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a cheap barrier to entry for VR. When you think about the technology landscape, it's not that when you build something for VR for your business, it has to be on the expensive side of things. You can use it for marketing effectively now and have a very unique way to promote your brand using VR on a cheaper side of things right now.
So can you give us some further examples? Like, I can't help but think like the old Pepsi and Coke commercials where it used to be, you know, the which are you drinking, and from years ago, or when you're watching a movie, you might be watching a movie about a particular, from a certain way, usually always from a perspective, but then brands are embedded in the movies. Most people don't realize this,
yeah.
That they're there. Is that what you're talking about, or you're talking about something completely different?
It's almost a little different. Giving you a sense of presence through virtual reality. Now, not only are you, kind of just showing them the product, you're giving them the experience.
So they can actually connect, they're engaging their senses. I'm going to use the word senses. They're engaging their senses in order to experience the product.
Exactly. Like they're looking around, they're interacting with it. They've been transported into your message, right? So
yeah.
Whether that's through a 360 degree video or something along those lines, which, lower end of VR, but a very obtainable way to do marketing.
Well, don't a lot of, I'm not saying a lot, I'm going to change that word, but in the real estate market, I visit the real estate websites and everything, and periodically somebody will have a virtual tour of the property they're trying to sell.
And virtual tours have been around for
a long time.
A long time.
Nothing
it's
new.
Just that technology has now been reapplied into VR.
Yeah.
And a virtual tour is a good example because, you're marketing a product.
Yeah.
When businesses come and talk to me and they say, oh, well, I want to make a virtual tour of my store, a virtual tour might not always be, what you want to do. So say you're like, a small shop, you're selling like organic foods. It's all locally grown here in Manitoba, and you want to show it like your store. Although, that might be good to show people what your store is like, but if you're trying to use it for marketing, you might want to actually send them to the farms where your foods come from.
Oh, okay.
Sell them on the experience of where you're getting your products and sell them on that story as opposed to just showing them the product.
So you could even go a little bit step further. I mean, if I'm understanding you correctly, and if I was writing this script based on what you're telling me, you could almost have somebody come into your store, and then from your store, they go and say to I don't know, the produce aisle, and they pick something up. And at the moment that they pick something up, they're whisked away to the farm.
They pick up the eggs, and they're sent off to the coop.
And they get to
see, like, okay, well, we only buy eggs from farmers that have free-range chickens, right. And now you got chickens running around you.
And maybe you're picking eggs, and they're only hand-picked or whatever,
yeah. Okay,
right, and sorted. And then maybe you're doing that. So I've got the right idea.
Exactly, yeah. So you have that experience. You know, yeah. You're engaging with the brand as opposed to just having like, here's a picture of my eggs that I'm selling.
Yes,
buy these.
Please
buy them. $3 instead of $4,
and they're better for you.
Exactly. Now it's like, here is the story behind this, the idea of these products.
Do you think there's anybody out there that's doing this well right now? Do you have any examples?
I've seen some really cool ones. There was one, it was for cleaning products where people were selling just the photo. And it was actually a 360-degree photo that I saw on Facebook that I jumped into Google Cardboard. And when you look straight ahead and it was just like what you see, it was like really nicely photoshopped and clean. It's like people are always selling this. But when you looked around, you saw the rest of the house and the house was a mess. And they were saying like, well, you need our products because this is real life.
This is your land. This is your house.
And I was like, yeah, my house can be pretty messy.
Yeah.
But if I took a picture of just part of my counter with something nice on it, yeah, look, to everyone on the internet, it looked like my house was spotless.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But
okay.
Like, shout out to my wife because she keeps a very clean house with me. So.
Excellent.
Don't want to give the wrong attention.
Yeah. Don't put that out there. On.
but just as an example, right? Like showing that like you can show a totally different perspective. Yeah. And it's a lot more powerful than, you know, just looking at a picture of something.
You know what? I think it's actually fascinating. And even for the fact that you've brought me into your world a little bit and I got to start to think about if I was to write a script for the example you used. I mean, I started writing it right here. I mean, that's really cool.
Selling people on experiences versus selling them on a picture of a product.
Product, yeah. You mentioned Google Cutout or Google Cardboard.
Yeah, Google Cardboard.
Yeah, what is that?
That's probably the lower end of virtual reality, but it's basically a cardboard box you slide your phone in.
Okay.
It's cheap enough that I think McDonald's in the States for a while was putting them on Happy Meal boxes. They've been in Kellogg's boxes. If you buy, I think it's Molson Canadian Beer right now.
You can get one there too and you can drop it.
It's basically just a cardboard box with a couple lenses in it, but your phone handles all the processing. It's kind of like the baseline of mobile VR. You can get, of course, better. There's new ones like Daydream and Gear VR, like, where it gets actually like a little bit better quality. But this becomes like a cheap, affordable solution. But it's actually very attainable. So I'm willing to bet you probably don't know a lot of people who own virtual reality helmets. But
no,
you
not
probably
really.
Know a decent amount of people that own cell phones.
There you go. Right.
So it's much easier to target your marketing into that.
Area
of virtual reality right now because it's much broader.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you or find out a little bit more about your organization, how would they go about doing that?
The best way to get in touch with me is on Twitter. You can find me at cmdanca or the company at Bitspace Develop, or you can find us at bitspacedevelopment.com.
All right. So that's a really good way to access you. You know, I've been thoroughly enjoying this. What a great show. I mean, I've learned so much from you, Dan, in terms of virtual reality and augmented reality and ways that you can use virtual reality for your business to actually give customers an experience. And even in the educational space, to actually train people to be safer in the classroom, bringing large tractors into the classroom so kids can do it. And the 3D printer stuff. That was really cool. I want my own action figure. I can't wait. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
I think that to keep an open mind on technology, like we legitimately live in the future. You can go anywhere and make anything. So when you're thinking about technology, think a little bit outside of the box because, you know, technology is evolving quickly.
That's actually really good. And technology does evolve quickly all the time. You know, that's our final thought. And Dan, I want to thank you for being on the show.
It's been
great. Listeners, of course, I want to thank you for tuning in. Really look up some stuff on virtual reality. It's going to impact your life now and it's going to impact your life in the future. And if you have an idea, thought, or maybe a guest or a question, just send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.